Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Kutsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolla First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship, without which we can't even make the show. My name is Leslie. Do you know what it is like to be perceived? I'm not going to answer that for you, but let me tell you something. I have been perceived before. I have been perceived specifically by idols, and let me tell you, it is really different from being perceived by literally anyone else in the world. Last year, my friend Sam and I, we attended this cultural festival just for funsies, and then we discovered that there is an active idol group in Vancouver, and we were like, oh, what's that? We should check out this performance. And then we did, and then we met some of these performers, and they acknowledged our existence. And listener, this was last year, and I still don't stop thinking about it. I still can't stop thinking about it. And I managed to get these people on the program today. They're the idol group Non-Sweet. They are, as they'll discuss later on, an overseas idol group produced by a Japanese music producer. And we're going to be talking about their latest activities, which includes their first ever solo concert held just a few weeks ago. We're going to be talking about their fresh off the press album, what it's like for them to be idols in Vancouver, and a really, really exciting project coming up later on this summer. If you happen to be in Tokyo later on this summer, even more exciting for you, because you will actually possibly be able to experience it live. But we're going to be talking all about that today, and we're going to be listening to some tracks off of Non-Sweet's first ever album, Hot Off the Press. It's called Wake Up, and it is a banger of an album. And as you may know, if you have consistently listened to Typically Tuesdays, not the biggest fan of music, me, but you know, this is a pretty consistent and rocking album, and I hope you enjoy the tracks that we're going to be listening to today. Before we get into the interview, we're going to play a PSA, and then when we come back, it's a Typically Tuesdays chat featuring Sam, me, and starring Non-Sweet. Get into it.
This is Bird Note. Don't be fooled by the gentle whirring sound of a hummingbird in flight. This male rufous hummingbird performs elegant and aggressive courtship displays to defend his territory, and he may travel hundreds of miles to find a mate. In the spring, rufous hummingbirds journey up the Pacific coast from Mexico to the northwestern corner of the U.S. Some go even as far north as Alaska. That's almost 1,000 miles one way for a bird measuring just under 4 inches beak to tail, making this one of the longest migrations of any bird relative to body length. But after completing one journey, the hummingbirds have to prepare for another. As fall approaches, they sip nectar and catch insects to pack on fat that will power their passage back to the tropics, this time taking the scenic route over the Rocky Mountains. But not all hummingbirds of the same species migrate at the same time. This male rufous hummingbird in the Pacific Northwest gets out of town early. He leaves the breeding grounds as soon as mid-June. Females stay behind to finish their nesting duties before heading south a week or two after the males. And their grown children trail after them in August. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. I'm Leslie, and...
And I'm Sam.
We're here today with some very special guests. Very special because at one point in time or another, you might have heard me talk about them nonstop. So it's very exciting for Sam and I to be here with them today. We're with the Vancouver-based idol group Nonsuite. Yay! Yay! All right. Thank you so much, you guys, for your time today. Can you please introduce yourselves?
Hello, everyone. We are
Nonsuite.
My name is Jessica.
I'm Stella.
I'm Emily.
I'm Nina.
And I'm Miu.
And we're a J-pop girl group based here in Vancouver.
That's really super exciting for us to sit down with you guys here today. Congratulations on your first concert.
Yeah, Futures Girl.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about that, as well your fresh off the press album, Wake Up, as well as some exciting other big projects that are coming up in the summer. Sam, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I guess to start off, can you tell us about your first concert, Futures Girl? And we heard you filmed your World's Friend music video there with all your fans. What was that like?
Yeah, our first concert was actually really fun. We're really surprised that there are people actually outside of Vancouver that flew here to see us.
So crazy.
We had a lot of fans come from, like, the States. Like, they're like, oh, I drove here with all my friends. We went in the clown car.
There was a clown car, apparently. We were in, like, Alberta and in California, too.
Yeah, that felt so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really awesome.
That made us so happy. And yeah, the concert was just an amazing experience. Just like a room full of Nonsuite fans. Like, it was unlike anything we've ever done before. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we filmed World's Friend the day of the concert.
Yeah.
So it was all in one day, which was really amazing. And yeah. We knew we wanted to film World's Friend with our fans because, like, the meaning of the lyrics, it's all about, like, our fans and, like, our connection to them and, like, how much we appreciate them. So we knew we wanted them involved somehow. And when we released World's Friend last summer, we never made a music video. So when this concert came up, we were like, hey, this is, like, the perfect opportunity to make a video for World's Friend.
Yeah. Awesome. And what were some of the factors you had to consider while producing it since it was one day shoot only?
Oh, definitely like the time constraint we had, because we only had about 2 hours before the show to shoot any like extra things we wanted, because of course we filmed during the show, but we wanted to have like close-ups and like, you know, interesting angles and stuff that you can't really achieve with one take. So yeah, it was definitely just being able to get everything done within those 2 hours before our fans, like, walked in the door. So that was probably the hardest part. I think everything else turned out pretty good. I think also it was our first time doing, like, a live edit kind of thing, like, a music video that's, like, a live performance. So we kind of had to, like, trust our team to, like, you know, bring the vision together. And I think they did an amazing job, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. And can you give us a hint of when we can expect to see this music video?
This summer, sometime.
To be announced.
Yeah, to be announced.
That's very exciting and very apt for the title of the song, World's Friend, to have so many people from all around come out and support you guys for your first solo concert.
And on that, take a listen. This is Nonsuite with World's Friend on 90.1 FM, CJSF, Typically Tuesdays.
At dawn, five girls prepare for the ultimate takeoff. Their mission is to discover the long-lost World's Friend. With the universe as their limit, they're destined to shatter all borders. But they'll need power from all of you to unite this world. Once and for all, for the good of mankind. Something must be done.
Are you ready? Go non-sweet!
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. You just heard World's Friend by Non-Sweet. We just finished talking about how fans from all over were brought together to their first ever solo concert just a few weeks ago, and they were a part of the music video for this specific track.
Talking about kind of like that international connection, I guess. So Non-Sweet is a J-pop inspired idol group based here in Vancouver. And you're one type of idol called overseas idol, or kaigai idol, kaigai meaning overseas in Japanese. There are a lot of people who are not very familiar with that concept. Can you share a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so kaigai idol, overseas idol. It's just a group of people who want to do idol activities, but they are not in Asia. They're not in Japan. So yeah, it's really big with like the community in America, Europe. There's kaigai idols like, everywhere.
Yeah, Australia is a big place with Kaigai Idols. But it's basically, like, the term Kaigai Idol is something that was kind of adopted by the J-pop idol fans who live in North America, like, English-speaking countries and stuff, because we were talking about it earlier, like, there are obviously, like, J-pop idol groups in, like, Korea, Taiwan, but, like, those people don't call themselves Kaigai Idol. Like, it's part of the reason we call ourselves, like, overseas idols, because we, culturally we're so removed from Asia, from Japan and stuff, but we're all really passionate about bringing that culture to English-speaking countries, so.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. A lot of people, as I said, are really quite unfamiliar and unfortunately have a lot of misunderstandings about what a Kaigai Idol is. But actually, listener, if you look into the history of a Kaigai Idols, you'll find out that this is a phenomenon that started like way back even in the 1980s. American actress Alyssa Milano was once a J-pop idol. She was, I think, signed with Sony Japan, and she released 5 albums. So this is something that's actually not exactly new. We also know that there are idols who were based overseas that were started by big Japanese idol production companies, like Coconut Musume, for example, who existed, I think, kind of like in the 2000s, early 2000s era. And they were a group of young ladies who were based in Hawaii. So there are a lot of examples of that throughout history. And
I love Coconut Musume. I'm really happy you mentioned it. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that not a lot of people know about, I think, unfortunately, right? Like, they kind of assume that, like, this concept of an idol is, like, very stationed in Japan. And even talking about, like, Japanese-inspired idol groups based in throughout Asia, that has actually had a long history as well.
Nice. Okay. I guess to continue off, just a bit about your group for those that are unfamiliar with your work. How'd you get your start as a J-pop idol group in Vancouver?
Well, as many of you guys know, we have a music producer in Japan named Shun. So he helps us make all this wonderful music. And Shun was really interested in making an idol group here in Vancouver. So yeah, that's how Nonsuite was born.
Nice.
One thing about having your producer be overseas is that a lot of other work that involves in being an idol group, for example, curating your image and creating music videos, choreography and things like that, that's stuff that you guys have had to do yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, like, each member in Nonsuite, you have, like, some skill that you kind of like specialize in and utilize for your productions.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really interested in knowing about what it's like to be so heavily involved in the production process of being an idol, as most idol groups like aren't as heavily involved in curating like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely really difficult for us.
Yeah, well, there's pros and cons with it, right? Like, on the pro side, like, we have complete creative control over basically everything we make, from the costumes to the choreography, the lyrics. We get to decide what songs we want produced.
Mm-hmm.
We get to decide where we perform. We get to decide
basically
how we
everything.
How we market it. Yeah, it's all us. But on the con side, that's all of our work.
Like,
we have to do that.
Because,
I mean, like, in Japan, like, a lot of idols, they audition as an idol, and they are just the face of the music. They don't have to do any of the more, like, back-end stuff. But us as Nonsuite, like, we are the face of the idol group, but we're also doing the back-end stuff. Like, we have to do everything, and that can be very challenging sometimes. But it's also very rewarding, because we get to make things that we're really proud of, so.
Yeah, and we just kind of have to figure out our own way as well, because there's no one really before us that we could really look at their experience and be like, we can take that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we have to navigate the industry, like, how to get ourselves booked, those stuff.
We have to learn a lot of things, like, a lot of skills that we didn't think we'd need to know.
Yeah.
Like, how to do, like, sound checks properly or something. Like, there are a lot of things we have to figure out ourselves that I think most people who either like dream about being an idol, or people in Japan who are idols, like they don't have to think about these mm-hmm. things that we have to do yeah. all the time. So
I think we've all learned like really interesting skills in this yeah, process definitely. That we like would have never like even thought about learning before yeah. doing this.
Yeah.
So it's been wild.
Yeah. Interesting. So some of the things that you guys have had to do, for example, like editing videos and like doing your own like sound production and stuff, you had to learn that specifically for the group. It's not just something that was like a hobby you were interested in.
No, this is, well, it's kind of a mix of both. Like, for example, with like video editing, like for a YouTube channel, like Stella does that because she really loves doing that. But with the recording our music, like that was something we had to like have a Zoom call with our producer Shun and be like, how do we do this? And he taught us. So
yeah,
a lot of things. It's like a little bit of both. Like some of us, I mean, me personally, like I'm an artist, like a hobbyist, so I put those skills into our group by doing the merchandise and stuff. But then there are other skills like social media where like we don't know anything about social media marketing, but we have to learn that. So it's a bit of both.
Yeah, same thing with me for choreography. It's like I've always been dancing like since I was small, but I've never like thought of like choreographing a whole piece. And Time Slip is actually the first full piece that I choreographed. And that's for Nansui.
And it was iconic.
Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, like if it weren't for this group, I don't think we would have pushed ourselves to the point to polish up our skills or like our hobby to the point where we could make it into a production.
Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, that is so wild. That is so cool. I can't. I'll get to the praising later. You guys will be showered with praise throughout this discussion today. So now with Wake Up, this is your first album, full length album release.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine the additional work that you have to put into it, because previously you guys were mostly releasing singles. Tell us about what it was like to do all of that for Wake Up.
Well, Wake Up is our first like physical album, so I know for me I like had to do a lot of research on that, like how exactly does this all work, like where can we get this made and like all of that. So because Wake Up actually comes with like the disc, the CD booklet, then we even have like special photo cards inside the CD, so that was a lot to think about, like our first physical release. Like everything else we've ever done has been digital only.
Yeah, and also I think like for me, I have to go around town to look at a lot of how other artists, like what's the trend of releasing album and what's included in those album boxes typically, to kind of plan out like how we want to design our product as well and what to include and how to make it like cost effective in our
Yeah, it was kind of the first time we had to like create a product. Like, with our singles, it's, like, digital release, here you go. But with the album, like, we really wanted it to be special. So we're, like, how can we make this into, like, an actual product that we can give our fans physically?
Yeah.
So a lot of the trials and tribulations, I guess, came from, like, that process more than, like, making the album. Because, like, we've recorded songs plenty of times. Like, I guess the hardest part with that was just recording so many songs.
Yeah.
In such a short time span, which we're not used to. But compared to, like, all the other stuff we did, like, that was easy. You know what I mean? Like...
I also feel like the music video for Wake Up is the most intricate music video we've ever made.
Yes.
Like the story is the most like complicated. Like most of our music videos are like fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a dance shot, there's some scenes, you know, but this one we had to like think like, oh, the development of the story, and that was a huge thing for us.
Yeah. And also how's that tying into our awesome marketing campaign?
There's a lot that went into marketing Wake Up, and with the music video, it was the very first time we did like a real like storyline, because we kind of dabbled with that in with By Your Side, but it was very like abstract.
Yeah,
but this was like an actual storyline from start to finish. Like there was stuff happening, and we really wanted to make sure that it was clear to the audience like what was happening. So I mean, that was part of the joy of like showing the music video on the day of the show. Like we could hear everyone's reactions. I could like watch people in the audience and see them be like, "Oh my god, I know what's happening! Like I know where this is going!" And that was like the best like payoff for all the hard work we put into like thinking about the story and like making sure that people understood like exactly what we were trying to show them with that. So
yeah, you even rented a house set, right?
Yeah,
that was
Yeah.
Well, some of the scenes were not filmed in the house, actually. Like, we also went to, like, a park. There's some outdoor scenes, and then, of course, the dance shots are somewhere else. So, in total, I guess there was, like, three locations. Like, that's definitely the most complex music video we've ever done compared to By Your Side, where everything was in one location, actually.
One studio, yeah.
Yeah.
So. One of my favorite things about the Wake Up music video is that you've shattered the age-old idol music video trope of the unethical polycule. Like, like, there's this one guy who's dating all of you, and he is not a good person because he was unethical about it. And instead of just taking it and being sad about it, you went and you decide to trash his house.
Yeah.
Excellent. We're not taking this sitting down.
That was, like, it's funny because in a lot of, like, J-pop idol music videos, you do see, like, there are multiple girls in the group, but then there's always one male actor, and it's kind of assumed that this actor is just, like, the placeholder for each of the girls', like, relationships. Like, people don't see that person as, like, this guy is dating all 11 girls in this group. Like, no one thinks that when they watch a music video. So part of what we did was we really wanted people to kind of go into the music video thinking, like, oh, he's just, like, the symbol of the boyfriend. But then it starts to be revealed that, no, actually, he is dating all of us, and none of us know about it. So, yeah, it was just a really funny concept that we thought, like, could really play into, like, the stereotype of, like,
yeah,
it was J-pop idol music video.
Yeah, it was so fun to play with that.
Yeah.
Like, make fun of it, almost. So.
Yeah. And it was really surprising for our fans, too, so it was very worth it.
We are shattering conventions and tropes with Non-Sweet. We do they're doing their own accounting and books. They're incredible.
Yeah, going back to the album, what is each of your favorite songs from the album?
Do you want to go in, like, member order?
Sure. I like Cry Baby the best because I think we put the most effort, and it's, like, most vocally difficult. Like, yeah, challenging song that we did. So that's my favorite.
For me, it's Anthem because it's a very hyped song, and this is the only song that we can, like, actually enjoy with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sing with the crowd.
Mine is Anthem as well. I feel very connected to the lyrics and the meaning and just, like, yeah, the feelings of the song. I love it.
Actually, me too. I also, one of my favorite songs is also Anthem because we can, like, all enjoy it together with, like, fans and do all the same moves together. It's just really great experience.
And my favorite song off the album is the title track, Wake Up, because I really love that we get to kind of have every side of Non-Sweet in this one song where, like, the beginning is really sad and melancholic, kind of, like, reminiscent of Time Slip, but then as the song picks up, it kind of becomes, like, Anthem. It becomes, like, all the other songs that we have that are really hype and stuff, so I like the meshing of the two worlds with that song.
Yeah, it's very dynamic.
Sam, what's your favorite off the album?
Mine is also Wake Up.
Yeah.
How about you?
Thank you for asking. I really like Cry Baby. It's really edgy. It sounds really different from a lot of the other songs on your album. It was, like, so new. I don't know. It was like, wow, they have this edge to them. They are really Non-Sweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cry Baby had its own challenges, to be honest. Like, that was a huge challenge of making the album as well. Like, a lot of you guys might know, but we actually had to make the song. Like, we recorded it 2 times.
Yeah.
Because the first time we recorded it all together, we just, like, weren't happy with it.
Yeah.
We were not singing sexy enough.
Wait, what was that?
We all sing very cute. Like, you know, like, with Time Slip, with You Got That, like, we all have very sweet voices, right? So with a song like Cry Baby that's very dark and, like, sad, like, we weren't thinking in, like, the perspective of the character in the song, and we were just singing, like, how we normally sing. We listened to it, and we're like, why does this just sound like a really bad cover of the song? Like, the actual song. So we showed our producer, Shunsan, like, we were, like, we were telling him we were not very happy with it, and he was very nice about it. He was actually like, I think it still sounds good, but you can do this, and this better.
Yeah, we actually got to the point that we got the first mix, and we're like...
We almost scrapped the song, because we were like, wow, that sounds so bad.
Yeah. It almost was not there.
He gave us some really good advice, and even some singing lessons on, like, how to sing, like, with a darker, more rich voice, and, like, with more emotion. And, yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah. Awesome. It really paid off. It really shows in the song. As we have discussed the album Wake Up, we're going to listen to the title track. This is Wake Up by Nonsweet on CGSF 90.1 FM, typically Tuesdays. Enjoy! Tuesdays. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Sam.
We are here today with the Vancouver-based J-pop idol girl group Nonsweet. And just before the break, we were talking about their latest album. Just one of the many new things that they're releasing and doing during this kind of like more active springtime summer season. And we were previously also talking about their first solo concert. let's look ahead into the future. You guys made an announcement really recently that's very, very exciting, and really puts the, let's say, the bond of the Pacific in, I don't know what I'm saying. You're going to Tokyo Idol Fest, okay? Like,
yes.
Okay, Tokyo Idol Fest, my listener, it's a big deal. It's essentially like the Coachella of like J-pop idol music festivals. And this is very much not a small feat. Please tell us more about going to Tokyo Idol Fest.
Yeah, so TIFF, or also known as a Tokyo Idol Fest, is like a very big deal. It's the biggest idol festival in the world. Like, most people have heard of it if you're into like idols at all, even like anime fans. Like, people know Tokyo Idol Festival. So the fact that we are gonna go there and perform, like, it's a huge, huge deal for us. And like, a lot of idols make going to TIFF like one of their biggest dreams. So yeah, we are just so psyched to be there, and like, even to have like Seishin Gakuen's name like right next to like so many of the idol groups that we respect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just such an amazing experience. Like, if you look on the poster, like, we are gonna be with those idol groups like that we've always like idolized, like, even like before we became idols. Like,
yeah.
It's like dream made check. So yeah, we're so excited for this August.
Since we haven't covered Seishin Gakuen, can you describe a little bit more about what it is?
Yeah, so Seishin Gakuen is our producer Shun's like group, like with like all of the idols that he supports. We're all coming together as Seishin Gakuen. So,
okay, so it's like,
it's kind of like an umbrella name for all of the different idol groups that Shun-san produces in Japan and here, Indonesia, like everywhere. So yeah, like we are members of Seishin Gakuen. There are members in Japan, members of Seishin Gakuen. Like, it's kind of just the umbrella name for when we all come together as a group to perform. So,
mm-hmm. So it's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Pretty much.
And
yeah.
Shun as well.
And Shun as well. Yeah, that's
yeah.
A big part of it. As
yeah,
well.
He'll be there too.
Yeah.
Awesome. It is. I feel like it is such a feat. I feel like the thing that I've been kind of noticing is like you've been trying to grow your Japanese audience. I don't know 100% if that's true, because I haven't been able to catch a lot of the showroom live streams, but I've noticed you're speaking in Japanese during them. Is that part of the reason why you guys have migrated a lot of your live streaming to showroom?
I think partially yes, because usually before you go into a place to perform, it would be good to build some sort of fan base first, so you make sure like when you're there, someone's actually looking forward to see you, someone's actually coming to your show. And then I think that's something that we're trying to do, as well as to like polish up our Japanese skills. It's a good practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We started showroom like last summer, I think, or maybe last fall or something, and
mm-hmm.
That's kind of when we started to think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to go to TIFF, wouldn't it be nice to go perform in Japan next summer. So
mm-hmm.
It was kind of like how we planted the seed
yeah.
Like all
yeah.
This, you know.
And just so people know, like showroom is like a Japanese streaming platform specifically for like idols, for I think now it's also like
it's
streamers, yeah, yeah, like it's
yeah.
A lot of different types of people, but it started as like an idol streaming app.
Yeah.
So Shun-san, his advice for us was to go on showroom because it's probably the best place to find idol fans in Japan who would want to connect with us. So
yeah.
That's kind of how it started. We're like, okay, let's try this. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a pretty good sense of, like, the North American community now, but
mm-hmm.
We still don't really know about the fans in Japan. So we're trying to reach out.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. That's fair. I believe you guys, some of you have performed in Japan before, also as a part of Seishin Gakuen, I think. So that I think that makes a lot of a whole lot of sense. And yes, totally, definitely exciting to be able to perform at Tokyo Idol Fest with so many people who you've admired and like got you into idols.
Do you want to talk about the outfits?
Let's talk about the outfits.
So even now you're wearing very cute shirts. And on your Instagram, your pages are so beautifully laid out. What are your go-to places for shopping?
Can you describe what Non-Sweet is wearing right now?
Oh, they're wearing, like, shirts with themselves on it, but, like, a very cute anime style.
Yeah, this is actually the shirt that we wore at our encore, at our first solo concert, and it's designed, all the graphics are designed by Miyu.
Yeah, I drew these.
Yes.
I'm really proud of them. It took a long time.
Yeah,
I suffered a lot.
Yeah, and we're all, like, wearing our member color t-shirt.
Yeah.
With Peter Pan color for those who are only listening and can't see. But you can find photos on our Instagram.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, like, the colors? I think some people are not really familiar with the color concept of idols.
Oh, yes. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
She's like, basically, we all have a member color, and these are really useful because at Idol Lives, a lot of fans have something called a pen light, and the fans will put their pen light to the color of the idol, and that kind of shows, like, I'm cheering for you, or, like, I'm cheering you on, and sometimes they'll, like, change it throughout the show, too, for, like, each member's, like, special moment and stuff. So, yeah, it's the member color just, like, helps with your, like, idol support activities, if anything, because our fans will, like, wear the member color, they'll, like, buy something that's a member color, they'll make, like, an Ida bag, which is, like, a bag full of, like, merch to support that member, like, it'll be that member color. So member color is really important in idol culture.
Oh, okay, that's great to know, thank you. Well, we'll go back to the question before that Sam asked before I rudely interrupted them. Where do you get your clothing?
Online shopping.
Online shopping.
Yeah, we're all very interested in J-fashion, Japanese fashion. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of us have to order them online because they don't have brands like that here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's also, for me, it's a little hard to find sizes here.
Mm, that's true. Yeah.
When you go to Tokyo, will you be hitting the shops?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On the list. It's like day one. That's what we're
going to
do.
Shopping.
Yay.
So many cute Japanese brands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you talk in a similar vein a little bit about your costume designs as well? I had recalled at some point that you had hired someone to do the costumes for one of your promotions, and that person is in the business of, like, making costuming idols and things like that. And talk a little bit about how you style yourselves on stage and that process.
Yeah, so our current outfit that we're wearing is actually, we commissioned a costume designer in Japan who typically design outfits for other idol groups. And it was a very interesting experience to work with her because it's the first time we really reached out to a costume designer on our own. Because our previous outfit was through Shun's connection.
Oh.
We got it designed. Well, we designed it ourselves and we got it made through Shun's connection. And then they sent it to us. So this is the first time that we have an outfit that's fully designed by someone else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it turned out really good, too. So
yeah.
They're super flashy.
Yeah,
idol outfits are really important, like, because that's how people, like, first perceive us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, the outfit is crucial.
A big goal when designing the outfit is thinking, like, okay, how noticeable would I be on stage from far away? Like, because part of it is, like, we want people from far away to be, like, what are those rainbow girls doing over there? And, like, to slowly walk over and, like, be like, wait, actually, this is kind of cool, and they stay for the show. So it's kind of, like, our way to, like, grab people's attention. So we want them to be big and flashy and, like, super colorful. Like, right now, we're, like, all fully, like, our member colors. That's, like, our current costume. But before, we were all holographic, which is, like, super shiny and rainbowy.
We're, like, disco balls.
Yeah. So.
That's how we saw you at
that. Like, who are those disco balls?
Yeah.
It's very eye-catching.
Yeah,
it is. Let me go see.
Yeah, I think it do us, like, really well, especially in, like, family-friendly events, too. Like, kids see us, and they're like, oh, my gosh, this is so exciting. And then they stopped, and we had a lot of fun because they would start dancing offstage, too. It's so cute.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. For people who aren't really, like, familiar with idols and all that, they hear me terrorize them each week, telling them to check out idols and things. But for the people who are stubborn, can you recommend some acts for people to check out, Kaigai Idol, J-pop Idol, or otherwise?
Yeah, so some Kaigai Idols that we really like would be like Paida, who we've met a few times now, and she's awesome and makes like really fun music. I really recommend her song. I really like Secret Moon.
Oh, yeah.
she has an alien girl concept, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, there's our friend Phoebe. She just opened our concert last weekend at Futures Girl, and she is an idol from California. And she's also a voice actress, and she's super cute.
Yeah, she has a very dreamy concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like fairy tale, like cutesy, like if that's more your vibe, like you should definitely check her out.
Yeah. And other, I guess, like J-pop idol groups that we like iLive, they have really fun songs.
Yeah. There are a lot of groups in Japan that we could recommend. Like, we all really like Equal Love, yes. Not Equal Me. What is the other one called? Something Joy?
New Joy.
Yeah. There are tons of groups. I guess for people who are just starting out, I would recommend, like, those groups to look
at. Yes, and they're super famous. I know some of us also like Tekken and Nona Deshiko, right?
Yes, they're amazing. Super cute. There are a lot of great groups out there, so... Those are our recommendations.
Thank you. These are great. And I've discussed this on the program before with other people who are into idols as well. But the exciting thing about getting into idols is, like, if you have, like, an obscure concept, like, obscure interest that only you will like, there's probably definitely an idol who's done that concept and who's doing that concept. Like Paida, for example, like dystopian girl pop is incredible. We have a lot of groups who are like, for example, who are like just doing like a kind of like a mature or elegant concept, like Nagasaki 46. We've got folks like Equal Love who are doing something cutesy, I guess, like cutesy flowery type thing. There is a girl group out there for you. And this is the propaganda for Typically Tuesdays. There's a girl group out there for you. Go check them out, and go check out Non-Sweet as well. As we are coming towards the end of our discussion here, wanted to know, how can people support your work?
So definitely go stream our music. It's available on all music streaming platforms. You could go check out our YouTube videos as well. We also have a website where we have a bunch of merch there, so you could go check that out as well. And finally, you could also subscribe to our Patreon to see more behind-the-scenes content. Yeah. Share our music. Like our posts.
Yes, please.
Hit that subscribe button.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. And as I said before, we will have a moment in time where we'll do some praising. I usually don't get to do this in front of the people who I'm interviewing because it's really awkward and embarrassing. But I'm trying to overcome that. I really cannot commend you guys enough for doing the work that you do, for pursuing your passions, and for learning all of these new skills in order to do them. I say this because, like, I've been into idols for, like, a really, really long time. Like, I kind of, like, grew up being into them. And one of the things that I've noticed with a lot of misconceptions about certain idol groups is, like, the idea that, like, if you're not from that place, if you're not in that place, then you can't do it. But the thing about Non-Sweet, in my opinion, is that, like, you are... not claiming anything to be in particular your own. You're not doing idol things because they're gimmicky and weird. You're doing it because you genuinely have a deep interest in them. And as well, you are immersing yourself in the culture of like J-pop idols, learning Japanese, trying to build your Japanese audience, and even working with Japanese producers and designers, which a lot of people, quite frankly, like, they would not understand the amount of work and thought and nuance that would go into that. So I really cannot commend you guys enough. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been great, like, answering these questions for you guys, and I hope our fans will, like, learn a little bit more about us, too, through this interview.
Awesome. Great. Well, that's all.
Yay!
That's all.
Yay, thank you.
Been and wanna ever be known. Oh, hey, oh, all the faces.
anthem by Non-Sweet here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Thank you for tuning into today's episode as we wrap up this hour, as we're hitting the top of it. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Non-Sweet. Being an idol is hard. Being a self-produced idol overseas is even harder and has more other complex challenges as well. So thank you to Jessica, Stella, Emily, Nina, and Miu for their time and energy and for their willingness to open up to us about their work, the rewards, the challenges, and the aspirations and the inspirations. It was really cool to get to know you guys in that way. Thank you so much. Tune into more great CJSF programming. Check out Speak Up Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 10 to 11 here on 90.1 FM, talking about local happenings like the art scene, local issues, local community organizing. Important stuff, especially if you're living in Vancouver. Speak Up Monday, Tuesday, Thursday from 10 to 11. One last song for you today. This is Crybaby by Non-Sweet. This is my favorite song off of the album, and I hope you enjoy. I've been Leslie on Typically Tuesdays. I'll talk to you very soon. You're here, it's upside down.